Welcome, everybody, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for joining me. Should tell you right off the bat, had some issues this week. I'm going to give you the full lowdown because I teased this week's podcast, which I never do. I never tease the podcast because I'm always nervous about guest bailing or technical difficulties. And this is one of those weeks where it all happened. So I had said last week during the interview podcast with the cast of Good Morning Football, which I hope you checked out. If you did not, you can get that in the archives. Make sure you check it out. Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, Kay Adams, Nate Burleson, Good Morning Football. Fun interview. That was last week. And I said that this week's show would have Dale Hansen, the sportscaster from Dallas, who goes viral every few months, and Seth Rollins, WWE superstar. So I goofed up a little bit on the booking of Dale Hansen. He's actually going to be on next week. So that's still going to happen, which is good. So then we were going to do the podcast this week and just have Seth Rollins on. SummerSlam is on Sunday, WWE Network. Figured that would work out well. Interviewed him on Monday. He said some great stuff about The Rock and Brock Lesnar. And I'm telling you the truth here. I didn't screw up, but there was a computer malfunction, technical difficulties type of thing. And the audio is just not good quality to post as a podcast. So if you do want to find out what Seth Rollins said, because I did interview him for a good 20 minutes, go to SI.com and search my name, search Seth Rollins, Google Seth Rollins, SI.com, Google Seth Rollins, Jimmy Traina. I transcribed the interview. It's all there. You can read everything he said if you're a WWE fan. We just couldn't post the audio because it was no good. And I'm bummed about it because it was a very good interview. Rollins was good, but technical difficulties strike again. So we do have a very good interview this week, though. We have Andrew Marchand of the New York Post sports media reporter. He broke a story Thursday about ESPN and Chris Berman talking about Berman having a bigger role this year after retiring for the football season. And we get into a discussion on Berman coming back to ESPN and what that's all about. We talk about Keith Olbermann doing the play-by-play of the Yankees-Mets game on Monday night on ESPN and the reaction to that. We talk about ESPN's lineup changes. Bob Lee is taking 6 months off from ESPN. We got into that a little bit. And if you stay to the end, for the New York people out there listening, we get into a little Mike Francesa conversation about his upcoming app. So if you're not a Francesa fan, though, give it a listen. Like I said, Berman, Keith Olbermann, ESPN lineup changes, Bob Lee. We'll cover all that with New York Post sports media reporter Andrew Marchand. And we'll go right now to that interview on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, New York Post media writer, sports media writer, I should say, regular on the SI Media Podcast, Andrew Marchand. Andrew, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Jimmy.
So we're speaking to you freshly off your breaking news story on Thursday, where you reported that ESPN and Chris Berman are in talks to expand Berman's role for the upcoming NFL season. There's a lot here. You have the Berman angle. You have the angle of why ESPN is doing this. Rough year last year for Countdown. So let's start here. What do you expect to happen? Let's say he and ESPN come to an agreement. What do you think his role will be for ESPN?
Yeah, if they come to an agreement, I think he'll probably do about five or six Sundays where he's doing highlights on Sunday night at the least. And then maybe a couple of features and maybe some interviews with people. You know, he has a lot of relationships, and that he's more of a presence on ESPN. They promote it big time when he's going to be on, and, you know, they try to get that ratings boost that he might be able to give them with football fans.
And what about for Sunday Countdown?
That, I think he'll just contribute. I don't think he's taking his job back. At least not right now. Is it out of the question if they are, again, you know, way down in the ratings after this year, if he wanted to come back next year? I mean, I'm not going to say that's going to happen. I don't think that's even in what's been discussed, but they're down 12% from last year when it was Berman's final year to this year. Now, you can't just say it's because of Sam Ponder replacing Berman. You can't just make that jump, but that was one of the big differences of the show from year to year. And so, you know, when that's the case, and Berman was a stalwart and probably is the most important on-air personality in ESPN in its history, I think you'd have to say a year from now, if you're down 12% and you say, well, we need to redo NFL Countdown to make it more viable, then yes, Berman would be 65 or nearing 65 at that point. But I don't think you could totally rule it out in terms of a bigger role, especially if you want to do it.
There's a lot more to get into here with Berman. I'm going to go on an aside real quick. Well, the first aside is Berman was on the SI Media podcast about a month ago. So if you're listening to this, check out his interview in the archives. He never wanted to really say he was retired. He was done. He hemmed and hawed when I'd ask if he'd come back. And, you know, if you listen to it, Andrew's breaking news today should not be that shocking. But on an aside, you know, it's interesting. You talk about the ratings being down, and you can't just solely pin it on, you know, Sam Ponder replaces Chris Berman. But I do think it's sports television is a funny thing. You had all these years of Berman and Tom Jackson on Sunday mornings. Chris Berman, Tom Jackson, Sunday mornings, ESPN. It was always there. Jackson left 2 years ago. Berman left last year. Now you have this whole new cast. And while, you know, I think people in power at these networks think like it's old, it's stale, it needs to be replaced. Maybe they look at social media a little bit. And I think if you had to, you know, if you gave the ESPN brain trust some truth serum today, they'd say they still wish they had Chris Berman and Tom Jackson hosting that show. Do you agree?
Well, you look at Fox and what they've done. They don't really make changes. They've added people. They've added Strahan over the years.
Right.
But it's been Terry Bradshaw, Jimmy Johnson, and Howie Long forever.
Right.
And their ratings were very good, I believe, last year. And so that's one formula to look at. I do think people overreact to social media and kind of the media elite like you. Sure. You know, I know you like Berman, but you're one part of the media elite, I would say.
Oh, really?
The influencer.
It's good to know.
No, I don't know if you are. Maybe you're kind of on the contrary. There's other people, perhaps. But the bottom line is that I do think those people might have good points of view. And for me, I've always thought Berman was best doing that pregame show and doing highlights, the NFL highlights.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a fan on his baseball coverage at all, his play-by-play or the home run derby stuff. But his best thing and the thing he's most associated with is football. Yeah. And so I do think, yes, there was a familiarity. And if I look at my Twitter and the reaction, and I would say it's about 65-35 positive to negative in terms of people wanting Chris to return. The biggest thing, or one of the biggest things, is that I grew up with Chris and Tom,
right,
you know, doing the highlights. And I think for a lot of people, it's nostalgia. And I think there's something to that, where there's an appeal to just kind of go back to your childhood and get away from 24/7 where you get highlights on my phone and be able to watch just him saying whoop and all that other
right.
stuff.
I think the nostalgia factor is very underrated. I know for myself, that's a big part of it. You know, I always, you know, on social media, if you give Chris Berman a compliment, you sort of people come after you. And I don't know, to me, it's like, he's one of the first broadcasters I remember. He was there as a kid. Primetime is the greatest thing ever. And, you know, sports supposed to be light and fun and entertaining. I think there's a lot of people, I could be wrong on this, but you mentioned it. I think there are a lot of people, a lot of the Berman haters, I think, come from the baseball and the home run derby, which, I don't know, me personally, if you watch the home run derby, you're a dope. It's not a real event, but that's besides the point. You know, there's no one better doing NFL highlights. I mean, I don't see how that.
I would agree, but yeah. Here's the thing, and it was the repetitiveness.
Right.
Now, this is about 13, 14 years ago. This is before I went to ESPN when I was last at the Post. Maybe 15 years ago, I used to do a thing called Five Questions, and I said to Chris, you know he could go all the way. Like, you know, it's time for some new material. And I think I was right, personally. For someone who had watched every prime time for like a Gehrig-like streak for years and years, that kind of got like, yeah, he's been saying the same thing over and over and over again. Now you ask me about that, if you were to say like what I want to hear. Now it's more appealing to me because I haven't heard it for a year or two.
Right, right.
And, you know, and it's sort of playing the hits, and I can see the appeal of maybe, you know, hearing him do highlights. because they are different now. Again, it's just that if you lived with Berman for your whole life, and I loved him as a kid, but then I kind of grew out of it as I got older.
Right. Makes sense. Now, is this you in your article on ThursdayNewYorkPost.com, you could catch it. You mentioned John Skipper, who's no longer at ESPN. Does this move happen if John Skipper is still at ESPN, or is this just because of the regime change?
Yeah, regime change. Right. Basically, Skipper is the one who pushed Berman out, and Berman is approaching 65, and from what I understand, I don't think he necessarily wanted to go in terms of when he did and how he did, but you know, Skipper had been in that job for a few, you know, good amount of time at that point, so he had he established himself where he could make a move like that. And you know, Berman, to his credit, really, I thought he handled it well. Especially, I don't know this for a fact, but if he was disappointed, which I think he was, but I thought he handled it well. He didn't make a stink, you know, at least publicly. And so, and you know, let's not cry a river for Chris Berman. I mean, he's a multi-millionaire, you know, many times over, and had a glorious career, has a house, you know, in Hawaii, one in Connecticut. Of course, he, you know, afterward he suffered an unthinkable tragedy with the death of his wife in a car accident. But in terms of when that happened, you know, I don't think I can feel that bad for Berman. However, Skipper pushed him out. He reacted to social media, and they put in Sam Ponder, and she's, from what I watched last year, now I was covering the Yankees last year for ESPN, so I wasn't watching as intently as I'll watch this year, but I would say that she needs to get better. She was okay, not great in that role, in my opinion, in terms of what I saw.
Yeah, and it's... I don't love the whole cast. I think it's hard to pin it all on one person. I mean, they brought in Rex last year, and I knew that would be a bust, and I was right about that. And then, you know, the cookie-cutter generic players that everyone has, and there's just nothing special about that show. I think the show...
You love Francesca. I was right about that.
Oh, when you're right, you gotta go hard with it, because when you're wrong, it's, you know, it's a big problem.
That's true. All right. I said Rex wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Okay. The media fawning over Rex, and, you know, that was one of the biggest debacles of all time.
Whoa, of all time?
No. The media, the New York media especially, when Rex was the coach, acting like a buffoon 24/7, and the New York media ate it up and thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then they turned
it. No, I thought it was great. You're totally wrong about that. Okay. You could not be more wrong. He didn't win, so then it became a bad thing.
Right, and then he went into TV, and everyone said, he's going to
the AFC Championship game. He went to the AFC Championship game the first year, and I think...
Yeah, because the Colts decided not to play Peyton Manning in the second half of a game. That's why he went to an AFC Championship game. But the point is not about Rex as the coach.
Matter.
The point is because Rex was a buffoon as a coach, when ESPN hired him, everyone thought Rex was going to be great, and Rex was a bust. Because that act of being a buffoon and a bully only works if you're winning.
Yes, exactly. That's the point. Yeah, right. I agree.
Thank you.
Rex, he hasn't been insightful. And last year they kind of put him in a bad spot because he started on Monday night, but he just started. It was just difficult to do that Monday night game when you didn't have any experience, and it didn't work out well.
I agree. All right, let's switch gears here, because you're giving me some crap, and you know, usually I'm on here ranting and raving about Alex Rodriguez, but I noticed you had multiple tweets Monday night when the Mets played the Yankees. The game was only shown on ESPN. It was a makeup from a rainout, so there's no local coverage in New York. No Yes in New York, no SNY in New York, ESPN only. And they had Keith Olbermann doing the play-by-play of the game. Now, I was in Atlantic City checking out this sports gambling that is legal now, because, you know, maybe I'll start to do this. And the game was on, and I watched the game, but the game had no sound. So I could not hear Olbermann. And I do have a point to make about it with no sound, but I want to go to you first. What were your issues with Olbermann? Because you did not seem like you enjoyed the telecast.
No, look, Keith Olbermann's one of the more talented broadcasters of the last, you know, 25 years, that's sports and news. But he is not a play-by-player. He doesn't have the reps, so he's awkward doing play-by-play. And this is the thing with Olbermann, and sometimes this is very entertaining, and I think it's great, but when you watch Olbermann broadcast, it's about Olbermann. It can't not be.
How come when I make that argument about A-Rod, people get on me?
because you're not as articulate as I am.
Oh, okay. Just
making
sure.
Probably the main reason.
Right.
But so, and I also think it's a little bit different. I don't know if A-Rod is always about A-Rod, but I don't know about when I watch the broadcast,
right.
It's always about A-Rod.
Well,
he's just talking about other people.
No, the Brook is about A-Rod. They show him before the game where he does a little on-field with the player.
They make the broadcast A-Rod. Yeah, all right, fine, yes.
Right.
ESPN has made that baseball broadcast all about A-Rod.
Right.
And it's too much. Well, I agree. But it's not A-Rod doing that. I mean, he's
right.
Not telling them, I don't believe that you guys have to make it all about me. He's that type of figure, and they do.
All right, you are 100%. Correct. And actually, I am in 100% agreement with you on this, because here's what I wanted to say about this. So I'm in Atlantic City. The game's on no sound, like I said. And I'm trying to watch the Yankees and the Mets. And they cut to the booth to show Olbermann and whoever he was, Tim Kirchen, and the former player who was doing the game with
Eduardo Perez.
Right. About 3,464 times. The problem here, okay. You can have your problems with Olbermann. You can have your problems with A-Rod. The ESPN, that telecast, is a complete debacle if you just want to watch the game. They do not let you watch the game. I don't understand the insistence on the booth, showing the booth every 5 seconds.
Okay. Now, with that booth, I could see it. I will say I've talked to producers from other networks about the A-Rod factor, and they have pointed out you want to show A-Rod on screen.
Why?
Because it's just his presence.
No one cares.
I agree with you, and the ratings seem to bear that out, even though now they'll say, well, they're closer to even as last year, but whatever, they're not better.
Right.
And so, but the bottom line is that is a theory. I agree with you. I mean, here's the thing. Keith Olbermann doing a play-by-play of the game is fine. And maybe this is going to sound New York-centric, just not the Mets and Yankees, where it's your highest-rated game,
right?
You know, regular season, weekday game, you know, nearly 2 years. That, to me, is where you want to put your A team. Like, I think it would have been, I don't know if they could do this, and probably contractually they couldn't, but, you know, move that Sunday night team, if that's your A team, regardless of what you think of them. ESPN has them graded as their number one team.
Right.
Put them on that Monday night game if you can. You know, special. You know, because it got rained out.
Well, they had a game the night before, though. That's the thing they were doing, the game the night before. I guess the Cubs and the Cubs with the walk off grand slam. They could have gone from
back to back games. Yeah. Whew, baseball broadcaster or writer's never done that before.
I agree with you there. I do have to knock you though a little bit here. I thought I had more respect for you and thought you were smarter than falling for the ESPN PR release of most watched weeknight game since last year or whatever it was for that Monday Mets Yankee game. Yeah, you know why? Because the game wasn't on SRSNY.
Of course, I get it. I didn't.
No one in New York would have watched the ESPN telecast if it was on locally.
Yeah, of course, but
right,
that's why they got that rating.
Right.
But that's
if you're gonna,
here or there.
If you're gonna
have exclusive windows. Other times, maybe you're right. I mean, I guess they're not that many. I don't know. They do have a number of exclusives that they can put during the weekdays. I don't know the exact number, but perhaps you're the small sample size, as they like to say at the ball yards. So maybe you're right, but I don't know. If it's sometimes, you know what? You let the numbers just you let them stand.
You don't
always have to be pain in the behind like you, Jimmy.
If you're going to come on the SI Media podcast and spew out numbers, you got to have the context. And the context is the game was only seen on ESPN. All right.
But it was the highest rated they've
right.
had on the weekdays.
Right.
So it didn't matter. The point being is, though, even though Olbermann, to me, and my Twitter would agree that it wasn't that popular, his broadcast style of the game, people didn't turn it off. At least not in huge droves.
I want to hear him do a game. I have not heard him do play-by-play for a game yet. I'm curious to see what if he's as bad as Twitter makes him out to be, because nothing ever is. So we'll see. I don't want to do all ESPN, but we're headed there. I just want to ask you, this news came out during the week, I think it was on Wednesday, about Bob Lees taking 6 months off from ESPN. It seemed, when I saw the news, I said, okay, this makes sense. And then Twitter being Twitter, what it is, then it started to get it was kind of a mystery, but I don't really think it's a mystery. I think the guy probably does need to just take 6 months off and recharge his batteries. I think it's probably something everyone should do, but I don't know if you know anything there or have any insight on Bob Lee taking 6 months off. What do you got?
Yeah, I spoke to four people who should know. and, you know, a couple who really, really should know. And they all said it's just simply he wants to recharge his batteries. I mean, if you look at it, he's 63 years old. He was an original ESPNer.
Right.
And, you know, at 63, you could start thinking about retiring, but you may not want to retire. So, you know, you get a chance here to take 6 months off, see, you know, I think he has a home down in Florida, go down to Florida and, you know, spend the winter down there and say, you know what, do I like this? You know what, maybe I just want to spend time with my family, and that's how I want to, you know, live, you know, hopefully the next 20, 25, 30 years of my life. But now he can kind of dip his toe in that water. So is there anything untoward, you know, or sad involved in it? As far as I know, no. The people I've spoken to, I'm not saying they would definitely tell me if they're trying to keep a top secret, but I do think that, I just think it is what they say it is.
All right. Well, that's good to hear, because we don't want anything bad there with Bob Lee. He's a ESPN legend. And like I said, I saw it and I figured, okay, this makes sense. You know, 6 months, recharge the battery, 63, get out of the Northeast for the winter.
I tried to do that. You know, Jimmy, I told someone I tried to do that when I covered the Yankees for them. I was going to take April through October. I had October off and then come back from October to April.
Didn't work out, huh? The ESPN shaking up their lineup. They canceled Sports Nation. They're moving High Noon from noon to 4. It's always amusing when a show has the time slot in the title and then it's not at that time slot. What's the big takeaway here from all of this? Is there anything?
The rebirth of Sports Center. I mean, we talked about Berman, and you know, you mentioned Skipper, but I'm not sure if we mentioned Darby Williamson. Longtime executive at ESPN, he has, you know, regained and reemerged with a lot of power over many of the studio shows, including SportsCenter. And so, you know, this is SportsCenter is going to be back in that noon hour on the big channel. And so, you know, SportsCenter gets a boost in theory, and High Noon goes from an hour to a half hour, which I think an hour you're asking a lot for two people to talk back and forth for an hour, no matter whom they are. And so, as far as I can tell, High Noon numbers have been pretty good. You know, not terrible, I should say. You know what I mean? Like, good enough to grow on.
Right.
As far as I can tell. You know, you'll see during football season, you know, ratings usually probably will go up overall for ESPN. That will be a test for all their shows. A
couple other things. Keith Hernandez here in New York on SNY seems to be in a little bit of trouble today, because he was very, very in favor of the Marlins plunking the Braves, Acuna. And I'm just wondering.
I love how you do that, like Francesa. You love Francesa. Like, you have no names. I just like it.
What are you talking about? I didn't say some guy. I said Acuna.
Who plunked him?
Oh, what's his name? The pitcher.
Yeah, I don't know.
The pitcher.
I don't know. Go ahead.
I don't want to say the name. I'd rather not say the names than say them wrong. That's sort of my thing.
All right, fine.
Do you think the story is going to get national traction here? Do you think he's going to have any legs? I mean, he's getting killed today, Keith Hernandez. Think there's any fallout from this, or just it goes away when the next thing happens? And
yeah, it goes away.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't say anything that terrible.
Right.
I
don't know. Yeah, I mean, do you really need to be pro, you know, hitting someone with a baseball 90 miles an hour? It's a little...
Well, Keith is doing, this is baseball. You know, you hit a few home runs and we hit you, and that's how it works.
Keith, here's the thing. I feel like Keith is starting to crawl into that Bill Walton territory where you become more of a character and a joke more than, you know, like the hardcore analysis, and I wonder if that would fly with SNY.
It's a good question. I mean, yeah, he does the cat thing and kind of like crazy Keith.
Reading the media guides.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but again.
I think that's good. I mean, they're doing a local broadcast. The fact that they do that is ballsy, in my opinion. I mean, they're doing a local broadcast and they're just basically saying what's going on in the field is a joke and we're going to read the media guide.
Right.
I mean, that's tremendous to me. It's funny to listen to. I think that's pretty good, but he's a zany guy. I mean, I think that's his appeal. I mean, he's definitely going to be much more prepared than Hernandez in that booth. And Keith, he got the national stage last year. I think he could do it. You know, he's the kind of guy that he's going to have to build around. Like, you know, that could have worked with Fox. and just shame for him at the end. I know he's disappointed, but it, bottom line is you kind of have to build around Keith Hernandez just because of his personality. He's not a complimentary guy. You build around a guy like
right.
that because of his personality. So, outlandish, but it will pass.
Makes sense. All right, before we wrap, we got to end with Francesa, as we always do. Before we get to Francesa, let's stick with FIN for a second. When is the Craig Carton trial? Are you going to be covering that? What's going on with that? Is that soon?
Yeah, I think it is. I'm not sure exactly. I will not, as far as I know, I will not be covering. The Post will cover it, but that will not be.
They'll probably put like a they'll do a, what do you call it? Crime person on
court
it or something?
Reporter.
Yeah, court, yeah.
A what person?
Crime reporter?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, court reporter, yeah. Someone who knows it. Yeah, that's just it's a court case. It's not
right.
really a media story. It's a media story in a sense, but it's a court case. So that's coming up. And I mean, obviously, for Craig Carton's life, it's a humongous. You know, can't be any bigger. And then when you talk about what we're talking about on this podcast, his career. If he can, get acquitted, or if he can reach a plea, or he can avoid jail time. I don't know if that's possible, but if he could, can he get his career back? I would say he can, personally. If he doesn't get convicted. Now, if he gets convicted and he goes to jail for, some time, then I think it's a little bit of a different ballgame.
If he doesn't get convicted and doesn't go to jail, do you think he could get his career back at FAN?
No, I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know. You never know, but Boomer and Geo, I think Geo's pretty good, and the ratings were pretty good last book, and now they'll come into the fall football season. The shows move on, I think he's had, Craig Carton, I don't know him, I've never spoken to him, I don't think, and because we just, our roads didn't, they've kind of missed each other in terms of when I was covering media.
Right.
Even if you don't like him, he knows how to run a radio show. He knows how to do a show. He's a talented radio person, or if you're doing a podcast or some sort of video, he knows how to entertain and to move a show along. And that's the skill that's underrated that I don't know if is totally appreciated by, listeners always.
Right.
It's not as easy as it looks. And so I do think he would have a chance, but again, it depends if there's a conviction or not.
Okay, and then let's go to you were on a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
There's nothing really more important in New York sports right now than Mike Francesa's app. It's going to have things that no other app has had. It will be something that everyone in New York will be ordering up because the content is supposed to be something we've never seen before. What is the update on the app?
Do you like him or not? That's the question.
I listened to the guy for 20-something years. I mean, of course I like the guy, but when you say that you're returning to radio because of an app, how can you not laugh?
But now he said though, he did a Twitter Q&A where he said that once the app gets going, he's going to leave radio and just do the app.
Oh, really?
Couldn't he just have skipped the middleman?
The middleman's not going to pay him a
million. Job?
Well, the middleman's not going to pay him $1.5 million a year.
Ah, so you're saying it might not be the app.
Well, here's my thing. Here's my question in all seriousness. Do we know the price of the app?
I do not know the price. I think he's announcing everything next week. I don't know. I think he's going to have different probably people on the app doing different podcasts and that type of thing. Which has never been done before. Nobody's ever thought of this before. Sarcasm.
See, that's what I mean. You can't. How could you not have a chuckle at it?
Of course. It's all a bunch of, look, he's going to do it. He said he's going to be on. He says he's going to be on at 2 a.m. He's going to be on at all hours of the day. And if you're FAN, then what are you paying him $1 million? Plus dollars to be on at 3 to 6. If he's just going to say his opinion at 2 o'clock in the morning.
In all seriousness, I think the interesting angle in all this is how many people will pay for that app. I'm just looking now real quick. You came on this podcast, this SI Media podcast, months ago, and you said you are an expert at guessing how many Twitter followers someone has. Can you guess how many Twitter followers Mike Francesa has?
I'm going to go 88.3.
All right, so you must have just looked that up because he's got 88.6.
Nope, I didn't. I did not look it up.
All right, he's got 80.
I looked at it. And I listened. Hold on a second. Hard to be a great Twitter prognosticator, maybe the best in the world, is you are constantly looking how many followers people have.
Right.
Like basically every day, all day. So I did look at it recently, but not, like, I'm literally not looking
at it. Oh, yeah. I didn't mean you were looking at it now. I meant you must have seen it recently. But
yeah, I knew where it was, and I actually did. I remember, you know, let's get to, sorry, enough about me. You know, this is not the Keith Olbermann game. You know,
right.
This is about the media, right? Which focus on the media. That's what people want to hear about.
So Mike has 88,000 followers.
I would say that's a low number, though. Wouldn't you say? He's been on it for what? Let's say he came back in May?
Well, I would. My guess would be that the main crux of his audience are not Twitter, are probably older and don't use Twitter.
Yeah, they're older. Yeah, he skews way older.
Yeah. So my question then is, how many of those people? Well, I guess that, you know what? If his audience skews older, I think, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Like, are they going to use an app on an iPhone? Maybe not if they're not tech savvy. But but that's the audience, though. If they're older, maybe a little more affluent, they'll pay the $4.99 or whatever it is. It's going
to
be.
I actually think younger would pay more. Like, I think it's weird when you talk to people. I don't know. I think younger people would pay more for that than, like, or not younger, but maybe 30s.
Right.
Established a little bit in their careers, have a little money of their own.
But I think younger people, if you're going to pay for something and you're younger, that person's got to bring something to the table. I mean, Mike ranting at 2 a.m. about the Yankees, I don't know if anyone's going to pay, you know, $4.99 a month for that.
No, I don't see why you'd need that. If I could just listen at 3 o'clock for free.
Right.
Well, what happens is, this is what Twitter and like, here's the thing for all of us, is that the internet is the great equalizer. So Mike Francesa has had a tremendous career and has talent. Don't get me wrong.
Right, of course.
You know, Mike and Chris are one of the best ever, if not the best sports talk show ever.
Right.
So they do. But they also were very, very fortunate about the time they came up and the years that they did. And so when you're – so like it's like – and let me just digress a little bit. It's like when people compare Mike and Mike, you know, morning show to Mike and Wingo or Golic and Wingo, it's like Wingo comes in there. He doesn't have a fair shot because it's just a different world.
Right.
Mike and Mike started, there wasn't the internet, and you just had to, you know, you had to listen to them, and that was the show you had. You know, obviously you had FAN in New York as well. But the point is that – now everyone has an opinion, so to cut through is much more difficult.
Right.
When you go and you have an app and you want people to pay for it, now Mike Francesa really has to cut through because you're asking people to say, wait, I need this guy's opinion because why? And I personally, I mean, this is what I do for my living, but if I were just, you know, didn't do this and I was, you know, had a more normal job, I doubt I would be saying I need for whatever cause, if it was $1, maybe $1 I'd do. But, you know, if it's $5 or more, I doubt I would say I have to be able to listen to Mike Francesa and whatever cast of characters he has on his app doing shows.
Right.
When I could just listen to WFAN for free, which is essentially, in theory, doing the same thing.
Or any other podcast that's free.
Or any other podcast. Exactly. Yeah. Any other podcast that's free. So that's where, when you talk about these services, you really have to put, in my opinion, a premium on being the best at something in a category to really have a potential for people to pay for something. And if you're not, and he, you know, Mike is probably sitting there, I'm the best talk show host there is, so I have it. But I don't know. But also, he's also there for free. I actually think he might have been more successful with his app if he didn't have the radio show.
I agree with that.
Definitely, but it might be true.
Right.
I need Francesa, and it's the only way to get him.
Right. I think that makes a lot of sense right there. All right. I'll be sure to have you on after the app launches so you can give everyone a full review.
Okay.
And I appreciate you coming on and talking about all these media stories and keep breaking the news. I always say nobody breaks more sports media news these days than Andrew Marchand of the New York Post.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Take care, Andrew. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. Talk to you.
All right. That wraps up this edition of the SI Media Podcast. My thanks to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post for joining me. And we will see you next week. Take care.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.